Hej Kushiki!
Hej!
Hur är läget?
元気ですでしょ?
そうそうそうそう。
そう、だから、bro, tack!
Jag också! Jag mår också bra. Sebastian-san is still on his retro journey in time. So in this episode, we are very pleased to welcome back, once again, Koshiki-senpai!
Konnichiwa!
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you, Magnus?
Yogi mo bra. Yogi mo mycket bra! You just got here. How are the Japanese getting ready for the Olympics in 2020?
Oh, Olympic Games for 2020. We are building a new stadium in Tokyo. And I heard that many new hotels are being built all over Japan.
You guys are going to have so many tourists, aren't you?
I hope so.
That new arena, does it have a name?
I'm not sure, but I think the government will need some new names from people in Japan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Like suggestions?
Yeah.
One thing that was very cool was that you told me that students all over Japan, they were asked to choose mascots for the Olympics.
Yes, we had three choices for the new Olympic Games mascots. And only elementary school kids could vote for it.
And how should we describe the mascot? There was one like robotic
robot. Yes, and they are wearing like a pattern of Tokyo Olympic Games on their bodies, kind of Pokemon. Kind of, yeah.
Okay, before we talk more, we should do what we did last time when you were here in Pixel Studio. Let me go down to our retro basement to find a good soundtrack on LP. Look at what I got here. This is something real exclusive. These are two real gems. What I got here, Koshiki, is the soundtracks from Final Fantasy VII and VIII on vinyl record.
Wow, cool.
You play those games, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Which one do you think we should put on? Seven or eight?
Eight.
Okay, I put it on in the background here for us.
Okay.
Doesn't it sound beautiful?
Yes, it does. 懐かしいね.
Sugoi! Oh, this episode is named Sugoi. First of all, do I pronounce it correctly? No, I don't. Say it once, please.
Sugoi.
Sugoi.
Sugoi. Yeah.
And what does it mean?
Sugoi means great, wonderful, or very nice, like that.
How often do you, Koshiki, use?
Many times a day.
Oh, you said, I think you said the same thing about the Natsukashi.
Natsukashi, sugoi. And sugoi, sugoi wa, I use it very often, every day. For people, for things, everything.
In episode 77, you talked about anime that you remember. Tonight, we are going to focus on other pop culture phenomena from 1980s Japan. Before we do that, we are obligated to mention Retrospelsmässan 2018. If you like retro games, get yourself over to Gothenburg and Sweden May 26. For many, I would say almost too many people, it's the biggest event of the year and certainly a milestone each year for retro game collectors. So Swedish and international listeners, Gothenburg, Sweden, May 26th. Retrospelsmässan. Are you coming, Koshiki?
Of course.
outstanding secretaire Laila Rose told me that you got a listener mail. It seems to be from a fan from yours. Big shout out to Kushiki. Thanks for your insights on this anime. You are a nice addition to the Pixel Club crew. We also need women's point of view in this pod. I have never heard about Hattori-kun. So that was one of the anime you talked about last time, right? Okay.
Yes.
I think that you would be a perfect ninja with shurikens. Shurikens. What? Okay. And then there's a few questions. What other ninjas are your favorite in pop culture? What is your favorite ninja movie that is not anime? And what is your favorite movie of all time? And have you seen Enter the Ninja and Revenge of the Ninja? And do you like Sonny Chiba? Okay, let's scroll back. Do you have any favorite ninjas?
Favorite ninjas? Maybe my favorite ninja is the real one. There was a real ninja named Hattori Hanzo. Yeah, he lived like over 200 years ago. He is a big name in the ninja history.
We can mention that there is a character in Kill Bill that is named Hattori Hanzo.
Kill Bill, well, in a movie, from my point of view, American or people in Europe have stereotypes about ninja and Japanese culture.
What would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that Europeans think or have about Japanese culture?
Ninja does not exist in today's Japan anymore.
Nani?
Of course, ninja is from Japan, not China. And, well, nani kana? Maybe that's it.
The next question was, what is your favorite ninja movie that's not anime? Do you have any?
Actually not, because my ninja idol is Ninja Hattori-kun.
Yeah. This listener also wondered if you've seen the movies called Enter the Ninja and Revenge of the Ninja.
Enter the Ninja?
Yeah, and Revenge, that's a sequel. Revenge of the Ninja. There was actually a third movie also that was just called Ninja 3, The Domination. But that was really not a part of the trilogy originally. But the trilogy goes Enter the Ninja, Revenge of Ninja, and then Ninja 3, The Domination. I think that at least the first and second movie, they star Japanese actor Shu Kozugi. Do you know?
Shu Kozugi, yeah.
Shu Kozugi. And also this listener wonders if you like Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, Sonny Chiba.
Can you tell us anything about Sonny Chiba?
Yeah, but I think they're more popular not in Japan, I mean in foreign countries. Many people know about them in Japan too, but they are not most popular actors.
And the last question was, I think I know the answer for this, I'm not sure. He or she is wondering, what is your favorite movie of all time?
My favorite movie?
I think that you're gonna say Mission Impossible.
It could be.
Okay, please answer the question. Do you have a favorite movie?
My favorite movie is... I have some, but one of them is Titanic.
You used to be a collector of Leo DiCaprio merchandise, weren't you, when you were younger? Like, what kind of things did you collect?
Postcards and posters.
And you thought that he was very ugly, didn't you?
Eh? Ugly janai yo, zenzen. He's so cool. He's been so cool. And my favorite movies are from Disney's. Yeah. Aladdin and The Beauty and the Beast.
Aladdin,
are my favorite.
Beauty and the Beast. If anyone would ask me my favorite Disney movies, I would say those two as well, because those two are the most Natsukashi for me. I saw both of them at the movie theater, and I didn't see a lot of Disney movies at the movie theater. And those were some, I saw those, and then I saw Little Mermaid. And then came the movie Lion King, which I really didn't like. And I think the reason why I didn't like it is because it stars animals, I think. This listener ends with lots of hugs, Y-Gen.
Thank you.
Now, a short commercial break, and then we'll be right back with retro things from Japan in the 1980s.
Via Direkt, kan jag hjälpa till med något?
Ja, det kanske är en dum fråga, men kan man tvätta en röd tröja och blå
shorts med olja och en
nallebjörn? Och det är ju hans älsklingsnalle.
Ja, det är nämligen en present
från mormor.
Så jag ringde till Via Direkt och de sa att jag bara skulle vilja skontvätt.
Och ta det lugnt.
Jättebra.
Ring Via Direkt när det är fråga om renare tvätt.
Via Direkt, kan jag hjälpa till med något?
Om du genom ett mirakel fick morgondagens tidning redan idag.
In less than a minute you're gonna have $50 million worth of experiments dumped in your lap. Now turn off the damn switch.
Om du visste vilka katastrofer som skulle drabba människorna imorgon.
I'm telling you, there's a tornado coming.
Och om du faktiskt hade möjligheten att göra något åt det, vad hade du gjort? Dessa frågor är Garys vardag i serien Första upplagan. Imorgon 20:00 på TV3.
How do you say toy?
The toy is omocha.
Omocha. Is that any kind of toy, like doll, car, or
yeah.
What?
Omocha means every kind of toy.
So, what kind of omocha did you like the most as a kid?
As a kid, I liked dolls. Of course, we had Barbies, but in Japan, we had original girls.
Do you remember the name of those brands?
There were two girls. One is Rika-chan, and the other one is Jenny.
Rika and Jenny. Did they have varied hair colors, like anime characters, like green, or were they all black?
Jenny was blonde, and Rika-chan had, brown hair.
But could you say that they were like rip-offs of Barbie? Like, were they the same size as Barbie?
Yeah, almost same size. And Jenny was a little bit taller than Rika-chan. And Rika-chan had a family.
Housewife.
No. Rika-chan is the big sister, and she has maybe twins, younger sisters. She had parents, and I think she has a boyfriend as well.
Do you think that a lot of Japanese women these days feel not so cashy about these brands?
Yes, I think so. But maybe Rika-chan is still going on.
Were there a lot of merchandise going on around these dolls, like anime, manga, or was Rika-chan only a doll?
We didn't have Rika-chan animes or manga, but Rika-chan had so many clothes and house furniture in the toy shop. We could see so many Rika-chan stuff, like clothes and bags, shoes, hats. You know, girls like those kind of small and beautiful things, right? So when I was a child, when I went to a toy store, I really liked looking at those Rika-chan stuff. I want that, like that.
Would you say still that Barbie was the biggest one in the 80s? Or were these actually bigger than Barbie amongst Japanese girls?
Barbie, wow. For me, Barbie is kind of old stuff.
The doll Barbie was first released, I think, 1959. It had its big peak in the 1960s, but I remember in Sweden, not me, of course, but many girls in my class, Barbie was huge still in Sweden by late 80s and early 90s. And there was also another brand of called Cindy with an S in the beginning. Do you remember that doll at all?
No.
Those looks pretty much exactly like Barbie, actually.
Okay.
I have to ask you, you didn't have any Dr. Slump Arare-chan doll, did you?
Arare-chan. I didn't have Dr. Arare-chan Slump doll. But that I think they sold some Araretan dolls. They are like figures like that. Mm.
I was just thinking about the cuddly monkeys, Mon Chi Chi. They are actually from the 1970s, but since they are a Japanese brand, did you have any of those?
Yes, I had one. Natsukashi.
They were a huge hit in Sweden as well, in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, I had no idea back then that they were Japanese. But now looking back at it, it was very obvious. I mean, they have a very distinct Japanese character design in their...
Mm.
So what kind of monchichi did you have, Koshiki?
Mine was kind of small, my hand size. And he was wearing... Blue jeans, overall, wakaru? Mm-hmm. Mm. He could, like this.
Oh, he could suck his thumb.
I have no idea where he is now.
Really?
Mm.
You should go look for him in, like, at your parents' attic or something like that.
Yeah. Natsukashi, monchichi.
Were there any other toys or brands that you really remember liking as a kid?
Let me see. Nani kana? Ato wa omocha. Chotto matte. Bantalite. It was not for me, but I have two younger brothers. So they liked Prareru. It's a small train system. Yeah, they could build up the railways. The trains was running on the railways that they made.
The big question is, were you allowed also to play with it?
Of course, because I'm the
big sister.
Big sister. Onee-san. I liked playing with the plated, building up the railways. It was fun. And we could put the stations or clothing. I felt like we were building a big city.
Did you ever build up a big city and walk around it pretending you were Gojira?
Yeah, I remember that when we build up the whole railways, I put some my dolls between the railways to look like more like town.
But those dolls must have been huge compared to the houses. Or was it... You had two younger brothers, you said, who also grew up in the 80s. Is there any other toy that you remember that they played a lot with?
Many boys like Tomica. Tomica is a small car's collection series.
What about things like Mazinga or Kinnikuman?
Yes, some boys had robot toys as well.
And you and I, we talked about Kinnikuman. Those are called muscles in muscles. America and in Europe. But in Japan, Kinnikuman, right? Could you explain what those are?
Kinnikuman was originally from anime. Maybe comic first, and then became anime on TV. Kinkeshi was a big phenomenon. And Kinkeshi is a small dolls made from rubber? Gum. Yeah. And they had all kinds of characters from Kinnikuman. And so many boys like to collect all of them.
Is there any other thing that you remember that a lot of boys and girls collected in Japan back then?
Collected?
Yeah, like, I don't know, some special kind of cards or stickers or...
Yeah, stickers. It was called Bikkuriman.
Bikkuriman.
It was like a kind of chocolate snack and one sticker inside one pack. And there were some kind of characters, and good ones, evil ones, and normal ones like that. I think it was really like Pokemon. monsters, and some are like monsters and some are like humans. And then the very powerful one had a very glitter colors in the back. Many children really wanted to get those ones. I was the one to buy that snacks a lot. And I put that stickers on my notebooks. It's like collection notebooks.
But there was something else that you told me once that you at least collected?
Yes, I collected some erasers, very cute ones. Cute erasers, I mean, characters, Sanrio.
Sanrio?
Sanrio, wakaru?
Hmm.
Sanrio is a big company with a lot of cute characters for girls, like Hello Kitty.
Okay, this is really the 1990s, but mm-hmm. did you get a lot of Ninja Turtles in Japan? They are called something else in Japanese, aren't they? What do you call them?
Mutant Turtles.
Mutant Turtles. In Northern Europe, they were known as Hero Turtles. Do you remember Ninja. If those were a big hit in the 90s?
Yeah, Ninja... No. Mutant Turtles. They were popular. But not in anime. But as a movie. Yeah.
Originally, it was a comic book in USA. And then it mm-hmm. became a cartoon and these movies. But also, the Japanese, they did a very own version. They did an anime of Ninja Turtles. Where they mm-hmm. almost look at like humans than what they do turtles. Last time you were here, we mentioned Famicom, the Japanese NES. But we walkade mm-hmm. runt den som katter runt het gröt.
Family computer の楽しいカセット情報。シングルス、ダブルスの本格テニスをコンピュータと技比べ。5段階のランクが楽しめます。ピンボール、迫力のフリッパー、スロットマシンのスリル、ポーカーゲームの興奮、ビンゴの面白さの全てを結集したピンボールの決定版。さらにゴルフ、光線銃など面白カセットどんどん登場。
So the Nintendo Famicom was released in summer of 1983. It was launched with only 3 games, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr. and Popeye. Within the first 2 months, Nintendo had sold 500,000 units. By the end of 1984, it was the biggest video game system in Japan and soon had 95% of the market. Koshiki, did your family own a Famicom?
残念. My brothers always wanted one set, but my parents didn't allow me to have one. Maybe my father felt like if they gave us a Famicom set, I and my two younger brothers would continue to play the video games all the time.
Is that bad?
Playing all the time is not a good thing, I think.
You told me once that you played Famicom at a friend's place, didn't you?
Yes. Super Mario.
Super Mario.
It was fun.
Many people, when they play a video game for the first time, they were not used to this phenomena that you could control something on the TV. So many people, I remember I did it also. Mario character was jumping. They were jumping with hold hand because they thought that would help. Like,
I know what you mean.
Super Mario. Was there any other?
That is an action game called Spartan X.
A Spartan X?
Yeah, it's like ER Kung Fu, I think.
Yeah.
The main character as a guy is wearing only a pants and...
Is he topless?
Yeah.
That game was known as just Kung Fu in Sweden. I think Master on Kung Fu was its name when it was an arcade.
Mm.
My cousin, Tobbe, he was guest in Pixel Club 64 Christmas special 2016, and he talks a lot about that game. He really, really liked it when he was when he was a kid. I guess this doesn't come as any surprise for you, Koshiki, but there was a lot of Sugoi games for Famicom with ninja.
Ninja?
If you ever want to get a Famicom again, if you really want to feel nostalgic, Koshiki, I can recommend you a couple of titles starring ninjas. One is called, in Europe, Wrath of the Black Manta by Taito. In Japan, it was known as Ninja Cop Saisho. And then we have my personal favorite, Blue Shadow by Natsume Taito. In Japan, it's known as
Yame no Shigoto Nin Kage.
Yame no Shigoto Nin Kage, okay.
Yeah.
Yame no Shigoto Nin. Yami means shadow, and Shigoto Nin is maybe murderer.
And Kage, but Kage is also shadow, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Or Yami also means darkness.
The shadow of the dark murder? I guess that would be a translation. But I really like that game. You can play as either a boy ninja or a girl ninja.
Boy ninja. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like the controls and I like the music, and there's pretty cool maneuvers that you can do that is quite advanced for the NES or the Famicom graphics. So I could recommend that. But I guess the number one title, I'm not really a big fan of it. If you would get just one ninja game for the Famicom, I guess it would be what is known in Europe as Shadow Warrior. Or
Shadow Warrior.
In America, it's known as Ninja Gaiden. It's called Ninja Ryukenden.
Ninja Ryukenden.
By Tecmo. It is a furiously hard game. Mm-hmm. Each time you hit, you fly back a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you get a game over, you have to restart from several stages back. So it's notorious for its difficulty. And speaking of other ninja games, we have the excellent Shinobi series for Sega that me and Sebe, we talked about Shinobi 3 in Pixel Club. That's also a great series with beautiful graphics and fantastic soundtrack. And of course, a game that Sebe has mentioned many times, Zool for the Super Nintendo. By the way, question: how do you say video games in Japanese? Softu?
Ah.
Or how
terebi
do you say?
Game.
Terebi game.
Terebi.
But sometimes I hear, when I watch Arino Sensei, he say softu when he talks about games.
Soft means cassette.
Oh, yeah, that's soft. Where it is. Oh.
Mm.
Do you remember Nintendo Game & Watch?
I know them, but I don't remember about them because I didn't have one.
Do you have any memories from arcade, game center?
My parents didn't allow us to go those game center because they were so strict.
Did you ever sneak away?
No, I'm a good girl.
Of course you are. But did you ever sneak away?
Demo, ikanakatta. I didn't go.
Go to a game center tomorrow.
Tomorrow, ne? Okay.
Super Mario, what do you call? We have talked a bit about the Final Fantasy games in this podcast earlier. Or rather, we devoted one entire to Box Biluta 8 to it, like a year ago. You have played some of those games, haven't you, Koshiki?
Yes, I have. When I was a university student, I liked playing Final Fantasy 7. Eight. Skull, but the black hair guy.
Okay.
When I was a university student, I think I played it almost every day after I got home. And I think I could, I could complete the game to the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very long. I don't remember how long it took to complete the game.
Natsukashi, the time when you had that much time to devote to something as playing games. Final Fantasy VIII, it's about Squall. He goes to a school called Balam Garden, and there he finds the lovely girl...
Rayona.
What do you think made you like these RPGs?
When I was playing it, I felt like I was part of the game. Like living in a game, I found some new, you know, friends and some new people in that game, and I could go to many different places and many different areas in that game. I like that game. The one is special one.
I will never forget the first time that a friend showed me the intro sequence, mm-hmm. the big fight. And you listeners, as you can hear in the background right now, the soundtrack mm-hmm. is also very beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is.
Why do you think that you needed an escape world back then at university?
First of all, I had so much time. I enjoyed playing as someone else in that game, not me in real world. I could do something different from the real world in the game, right?
Buy an old PlayStation and buy Final Fantasy VIII. You can sit down and have a real Natsukashi experience back to university days where everything was possible and you had all the time in the world just as long as you decided to take it.
Yeah, sounds fun.
A while ago, you and I, we talked about lewd animes in the 1980s.
Yes.
We're not gonna talk about anime this episode, we did that enough last time, but I just wanna ask you, can you tell the listeners anything about a series called
Maiching Machiko Sensei? And Machiko Sensei is a school teacher. Machiko Sensei was loved by many boy students because because she was wearing a very short skirt and これなんていうの? Yeah.
Since you mentioned it, I decided to watch some of it. I mean, it's not erotic, it's not hentai, there's no tentacles or anything. But it's still very weird that it was on TV in the 1980s because there's some grabbing, there's some looking, there's some peeking. The boys actually try to grab their teacher's breasts.
Right.
And it's weird that this was shown on, you know, just normal TV in the 1980s, and you as a kid, you watched it.
Yeah, I was.
Was it a popular, was it a popular show?
Yeah, everyone was watching it.
The day afterwards, you guys must have talked about it in school. Like, oh, did you see the new episode of Machiko?
Maybe that Machiko Sensei was on TV like evening time, so everyone could watch it.
Did you like it?
Yes.
I think I mentioned it to you before. When I was in high school, I had an organization that was an anime organization, and our name was Kyomikai.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that Kyomikai meant interests organization. Did we actually get it right, Kyomikai?
As a translation, it was okay. But we would not put Kyomi as a group name.
What do you mean, not as a group name?
When we use Kyomi, we talk about something that we are interested in. It's like, 私はアニメに興味がある。I am interested in animes. Or I am, 私はスポーツに興味がある。I am interested in sports. It's almost like an adjective.
This was 2001. We want an organization that's broad, not only anime, but also manga and video games and Japanese culture. So we decided it would not be called like Anime Kai, we would be called interest organization. Kai is that organization?
It's more like club.
So, do you know a movie called Leda, The Fantastic Adventures of Yoko?
Koreada?
Leda.
No.
Good. Then I would recommend that you stay tuned if you want to hear more about it in veckans tillbaks till bilruta 1. Medan Koshiki packar ihop här så den här tillbaksbildruta 1 blir ett simpelt filmtips nu inför helgen. Och givetvis kör vi på de tre ledorden anime, svenskdubbat och såklart 80-tal. Leda The Fantastic Adventure of Yuko.
Tack så mycket.
Jag heter Ringham. Jag vill se, höra och veta allting, vad som helst. Vem är du?
Jag heter Yoko Asagiri och jag är en plugghäst.
En plugghäst? Men vad kan det vara för någonting då?
Ja, jag går i gymnasiet, eller jag gjorde i alla fall.
Vad menar du?
Ja, jag gick genom parken när jag plötsligt drogs ner i marken. Och så var jag i den här läskiga skogen med jättekonstiga blommor och otroliga insekter som jag aldrig sett förut. Och
Ja, vi tar och läser lite på baksidan av Vendros VHS-utgåvan. Den 17-åriga Yuko är en känslig skolflicka med en hemlig förälskelse. Med pojken i sina tankar komponerar hon ett pianostycke och spelar in det på kassett. Ja, som en parentes kan jag säga att något pianokomponerande inte framgår helt såklart i själva filmen sen. Sen står det, när hon beslutar sig för att bekänna sin kärlek väntar hon på en väg som pojken brukar gå. Och här börjar vårt äventyr. Det här på baksidan här förklarar ungefär de 40 första sekunderna i filmen. I vilket fall, Leda är en småmysig matiné-OAV och en av de animéfilmerna jag tänkt på oftast sedan första gången jag såg den. Den släpptes allra först på video, detta var i mars 85 i Japan då, och sen på bio lagom till jul det året. I Sverige kom den på köpvideo 87 och har även släppts på DVD. Och i den här filmen finns det mycket gotte att hämta. För det första så är den regisserad av Kunihiko Yuyama, han som väl regisserat alla Pokémon-filmer sedan den första, Mewtwo mot Mew. Musiken är främst gjord av samma kille som plinkade ihop det mesta till Neon Genesis Evangelion. Men en annan japs har komponerat mitt favoritstycke i filmen. Den som hörs när Yuko precis har kommit till den nya världen. Yukifumi no Heart Tachi. Låten i eftertexterna går heller inte av för hacker, vill jag tillägga. I vilket fall, musiken överlag ramar in berättelsen i en mycket speciell och fin atmosfär. Hjältinnan Yuko är en varm tjej och lätt att tycka om och med, ja, vacker design får man väl säga. Även Ringham och lilltjejen Juni, två andra karaktärer på godhetens sida som snart kretsar kring henne, är mycket älskvärda. Jo, sen det framgick i baksidetexten där så Yuko har alltså förälskat sig i en kille. Den här gunstlingen har hon liksom bara beundrat på avstånd. Men en dag så promenixar hon förbi honom, lyssnades på sin egen komponerade sång i freestylen. Hon samlar all kraft att bekänna sin kärlek, så kallad kokuhaku. Ett i högsta grad mer levande fenomen borta i Japan än i väst. Att bekänna sin kärlek för någon, det är först då man kan bli ihop. I vilket fall, pojkvasken bara passerar henne för Yuko var mer mån om att samla mod än att faktiskt bekänna va?
Oh, nej.
Och det är då hon transporteras till landet Ashanti där hon möter en talande hund och får reda på att det är just hon som är den så kallade Ledas krigare.
Vem är Leda?
Enligt legenden är hon gudinna, men vi vet inte med säkerhet. Men vi vet i alla fall att hon kontrollerade kraften mellan dimensionerna. Du behöver bara titta på vad som hände med dig. Din förvandling till exempel skedde genom Lidas krafter.
Jag förstår inte vad jag har med gudinnan Lida att göra.
Men det måste finnas en koppling. Folket i Ashanti berättar om en legend som säger att om någon försöker använda ledars krafter i onda avsikter ska det komma en krigare från jorden och beskydda dem. Voilà, vår egen Yuko. I allt detta har vi också ondingen general Cell. Cell med Z såklart. En fager, men ja, småtrist bad guy. Och han vill ju givetvis erövra jorden då och sätter sina underhuggare efter den 17-åriga plugghästen. Men han måste först komma åt det som kallas ledars hjärta. Nyckeln till att länka samman världarna. Och det är alltså Yukos freestyle och låt som är den här ledars hjärta. Och det här framställs på ett hyfsat trovärdigt sätt i filmen. Och detsamma det här med The Chosen One, den utvalde. Hur trötta är vi inte egentligen på den klichén? Men jag köper rakt av varför det är just Yuko som allt kretsar kring i leda. Kanske trots att hon finner sig lite väl snabbt i den nya rollen i en annan värld. Hon blir liksom ledars krigare och hennes person ändras kanske lite väl abrupt. Ja, alltså storyn i den här filmen är inte perfekt på något sätt. Var får till exempel Yuko Ringham den här svävahojen ifrån? Men helheten är mys, verkligen. En av de största minusen med filmen är att Yukos kärlekshistoria som nämndes i baksidetexten inte är särskilt övertygande eller ens närvarande. Det är Yuko själv och karaktärerna runt henne som liksom gör denna film. En småtrevlig film, en sann retroanime. Ja, det är kul att även anime som leda dubbades och släpptes i Sverige back in the day. 4 av 8 bitar. Det har blivit dags att presentera veckans låt. Har du hört talas om Retro Game Challenge? Ett spel från 2007 till Nintendo DS:en. Känt i Japan som Arino no Chosenjo. Det är baserat på Game Center CX. TV-spelsprogrammet på Fuji TV med komikern Shinya Arino som jag och Sebbe nämnt för en tid sedan. En reality-serie. Jo, det är det väl. Med den charmiga Arino som knappast kan kallas för gamer. Men som i varje avsnitt då tvingas komma så långt som möjligt i något retrospel under cirka 14 timmar. Den här DS-kassetten, det var en handfull kortare spel och alla var helt nyproducerade av Namco Bandai. Och var en av spelen representerade var sin genre från tv-spelens 80-tal. Fejkade NES-spel kan man säga. Vart och ett av dem har fångat utseende, musik och inte minst känslan från spel från förr. Här finns verkligen något för alla. Micro Machines liknande Rally King är väl min favorit med sina schyssta sliringar och gulliga miljöer. Och givetvis måste man ju då nämna Guardia Quest. Anledningen till att många japaner ens köpte detta DS-spel. De är ju tokiga i JRPG over there. Det här spelet ska påminna om de första Dragon Quest till NES. Fast det är bara några timmar långt då. Och då vill vi spela en slinga från något av de andra spelen på denna DS-gem. Hagelman 2. Ett action-plattformsspel med lite pusselinslag där man med ninja-hopp och dörröppningar ska ha ihjäl alla fiender på skärmen innan man får fortsätta till nästa. Ja, låten från Hagelman 2. Här framfört av Hasse Tellemans orkester. Nej, skojar bara. Jag vet inte exakt vilket grammofonbolag du kan hitta denna på, men mycket nöje!
Do you have anything else that you want to say?
Well, thanks to you, I feel like I go back to 1980s and 1990s, and I could remember something very natsukashi from my childhood, like animes and toys. So, thank you.
Thank you for wanting to be our guest here. It was a pleasure having you. pixelklubben64@gmail.com. Om du vill berätta något retro eller skriva någonting till Kushiki kanske. Om du vill verkligen vill suga då, så varför inte beställa en t-shirt? Och lova dig själv att du berättar om denna fina gamla podcast för en vän till nästa gång. Så hörs vi då.
Hej då.
Och tack som fan för att ni har lyssnat.
Tack som fan.